Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I'll give a bit of a direction of where we're going, and it's about focusing on Christ. Focusing on Christ. So where does our focus need to be if we are to run this race? What is going to hinder my race? And so focusing on Christ and not on worldly things. Okay. Running a race. When we're thinking of the physical, if we're thinking of sprinting or running, if we're running, and at any time we look to the side and not forward, our steps actually shorten. Your steps shorten. Have a go. I try it. If everyone wants to, you can do this later. But when you're focused on something, your strides are longer. As soon as you start looking around, you shorten your steps. You shorten your steps. So kids, this is a lesson. If you want to run fast, look straight ahead. That's free tip. Okay, but when we're racing, so don't look around. All right. So when we're running, if we look at any time other than where we're going, we will lose ground. We will lose ground. If you look to see where the person beside you is, you will lose at least half a step, they reckon, when in a sprint. Half a step. For every step, you are not focused on the finish. So when we're running the race of a Christian, if we're not focused on Christ, if we don't focus on Christ, if we look at the world at any time, we will be out of step with the Lord. You will not be where the Lord wants you to be, okay? So if I'm walking along with the Lord and I'm focused on him, I'm in time with him. And if I look back at the world, suddenly he's a step in front of me. And I'm not in where I should be. Now we can be physically in the wrong place because we turn around to the world, or we look back at things, worldly focus. But spiritually, we're in the wrong place in our growth with the Lord. Our growth in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ depends on our focus. What we look or focus on, bad English in here, sorry. Let me rephrase it. Focus on here. Okay. Focus on where we want to go. That's basically what I'm trying to say in this. If our focus is on a particular thing, okay, let's use food for example. If you are focused on getting a feed, you're going to go to a kitchen. Okay? If you can't find it in the kitchen, you're going to go to a supermarket. All right, if you're focused on something, your aim is to get that particular thing. Okay, you're not going to go to the laundry to try and find a feed. If we're focused on having a shower, you're going to go try and find some water. Okay? If our focus is on Christ, we're going to go to places where we can find Christ. We're going to go to his word. We're going to go to a church that preaches the word of God, where people love the word of God, where people love God. We're going to go to places that focus on Christ. Okay, so what is going to hinder my spiritual race or walk? There are a number of things. There are things in our lives that are not sinful. If we look in verse 1, the writer of Hebrews says, "Let us lay aside every weight." Every weight. These are things that are not sinful things, but they are hindering our race. They're hindering our race. And we need to look in our lives to see what that weight is. What is that thing in our life that we need to get rid of? What is that thing that we need to get rid of? What is weighing us down and hindering our race? When the Romans used to run in their Olympics and stuff, they used to take off every item of clothing that would hinder them from running. If they thought it was going to hinder their speed in any way, they would take it off. And we know where that led. And we're just about there again this day and age. What is hindering your race? What is in your life that is hindering you from running the race that God wants you to run? What is in your life? Now, right now, something probably just popped into your mind. Something that you can get rid of that is a distraction, and maybe the Holy Spirit is convicting you of something that is a distraction in your life that you can get rid of that you don't really need. And maybe you need to talk to God about that and lay it aside. Let us lay aside every weight. I'm sure as I was putting this together, there was a number of things that come to mind that I can get rid of that are hindrances in my spiritual growth. Okay, what do we need for the race? What do we need for the race? There are a number of things. If we look in at the end of verse 1, he says, "Let us run the race with patience." Patience. So the first thing that he's mentioned here is patience. So patience, we need to ask the Lord for patience. God's timing is perfect and ours is not. And the race is going to be long, or it may be long. Most definitely, it'll probably be longer than you desire if you are saved, for you long to be with him. You long to be with God. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul desired to be with Christ. He says in 2 Corinthians also, chapter 5, verse 8, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." As believers, we rather be in heaven, but we know we have a race to run here. We have a race. Paul's desire was that the race was over, but he knew that running the race was more purposeful to God and for God. God has been patient with us. We need patience for our race, but God has first been patient with us. Long-suffering to us, would not willing that we should perish, or that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he's still patient with us today. Still patience when we are disobedient to his word. He's so merciful and patient with us. So if you're not a patient person, pray that you can learn to run your race with patience. Pray that you can, that God will teach you to be patient. Be careful about how you pray. I'll give you a warning, because God can answer prayers in ways you don't expect. He may take you to a local hospital to learn patience. If you want to learn patience, you've got to become a patient, maybe. So just be careful how you pray. Some other things you will need. You'll need the armor of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read from verse 10. Excuse me. Finally, my brethren. Sorry, I'll wait. Some people still turn. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is of the Lord. Which is the word of the God. Let me start that verse again. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The armor of God. This armor is given to you, but it's your responsibility to wear it. It's your responsibility to put it on. Have you got all your armor on? Have you got all your armor on? This armor will help you to keep your focus on Christ. To keep your focus on Christ during the race. It will help you to quench the attacks of the devil that will hinder your race. The attacks that will turn your eyes upon worldly focus. Sorry, I think I missed a bit. Okay, that's all right. This armor is not heavy. Okay, this armor, when you think of a soldier's armor going into battle, and they wear backpacks and stuff, and it's 30 or 40 kilos of weight, and you think of Goliath, when he, with all his, the thing, at coat of mail, and it was 90 kilos, just the coat. This armor that God gives us is not heavy, and in fact, it will carry you. This armor actually will carry you and help you in your race, help you to the end. What good is it if you are running a race and you do not have your feet shod? Shoes are pretty important when you're running. One, they give you grip, something to be able to move quickly from the attack of the devil. This one is the feet shod with the gospel of peace. It's a readiness to go forth for God. Ready to tell others of his saving grace. And we need to tell all people along the way this gospel, and we will need the whole armor of God to do it. So there are things that we will have to lay aside in our race, things that hinder us, lay aside sin, lay aside things that are just distractions in our race. And there are things that we are given that we must wear. The armor of God. and there are other things like patience that we need. Where will a worldly focus lead you? Where will a worldly focus lead you? A worldly focus combined with a Christian does not and will not give glory to God. It will not give glory to God. We need to stand on the truths of the Bible, and a worldly focus with a Christian does not give glory to God. Worldly focus will lead you to worship God in a way that the world thinks is appropriate, not in the way that God has set out in His Word. Worldly worship shows the love of this world and the things of this world. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We have a good example in the Bible of somebody that loved the world. Demas, 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens, to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Demas was a... Paul wrote that he was a fellow laborer. But the love of the world destroyed him. His focus was the world. He loved the world, having loved this present world. This world was his treasure. That's where his focus was. Matthew 6. Before we go there, sorry, that just reminds me of what we're learning in Sunday school about apostates in the church. They have a focus that is fleshly, a worldly focus, and not a focus on Christ. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If the light of the body is the eye, if therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Where your focus or attention is will tell a lot about whom you serve. Will tell a lot about whom you serve. You may be able to hide it from men or fool men and appear that you serve the Almighty God, but you cannot fool God. God knows your heart's desire. God knows where your focus is. He knows if you're focused on Christ or if you're focused on worldly things. He knows if you're walking with Him or not. A focus on anything worldly will hinder your race. Where does a race that is Christ-focused lead? Let's go back to our text, Hebrews 12. We'll read verse 2 and 3. focusing on Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Looking unto Jesus. Firstly, it will give us great joy when we look to him. Great joy, even when you're going through persecution, looking unto Jesus will give us great joy. Why? Because he endured such things for us. Why would he endure such things for us? Because of his love for us. And if that doesn't bring you joy, there's something wrong with you. It gives us great joy when we look to Jesus. Looking to Jesus will help us to continue to look to him. If we look to him once, and he's given us truth and blessing, and he's helped us through a trial, he's helped us turn away from sin, and he's helped us to lay aside something that's hindering our race, the next time something comes in our race that is a hindrance, we'll gladly look at him, and we'll do it sooner than we had the first time. So looking to Jesus is going to help us to continue to look unto him. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He has a desire to finish the work he started. He wants to see you finish that race focused on him. It will keep you in his will, and you will have his same desire. If you're focused on Christ, you'll be in his will, and you will have his same desire. Looking unto Jesus, being focused on Jesus, leads to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. It disciples the new convert that they can go and teach others also. It establishes God-loving, God-fearing, sin-hating, Christ-preaching, Christ-teaching, Bible-believing churches. Churches that send forth into other places to preach the gospel of Christ, that others might believe and receive his grace. It's pretty important to stay focused on Christ. God has a focus on you. God has a focus on you. So what is God's focus, or what does God want in your life? What is God's purpose in saving you? 2 Timothy 1:9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God wants you to have what was lost in the Garden of Eden. He wants you to have that fellowship that was lost. God wants to be glorified for who he is and what he has done and what he will do. God's focus on you is to present you holy in his sight. Colossians 1:21-22. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He wants to present you holy. His finished work on the cross was for that purpose, of presenting us holy in his sight. He wants to present you holy, and is long-suffering that he can present others holy as well. God desires to good in your life to give you eternal life. He desires to give you eternal life. It is his goodness and the goodness that he's given you that leadeth thee to repentance. You think of the good things that God has done in your life. He's done a lot in my life, saved my life many a times, I'm sure of it. He has had great mercy on me when I shook my fist at him, when I blamed him for doing something in my life, and it was his goodness to me, his mercy, that led me to repentance. Goodness in bringing me a wife and children. Goodness in clothing me and feeding me every day. It's his goodness that leads us to repentance. Sometimes that goodness comes wrapped differently, like a car crash or a broken arm. I remember Brother Chris Dagan falling. When he went out bush and he broke his arm, brought him back to Christ. Maybe a stroke. It's all God's goodness to us, that he doesn't take us into eternity, that he's merciful to us. And when we look back at this mercy, that he didn't take us to eternity when he could have, when we blasphemed his name, but when we look back, it brings us to repentance. God's focus is that all men might come to repentance, to seek and to save that which is lost. A focus on Christ that we might have the same focus. Let us focus on Christ that we might have the same focus. A focus that desires to see others saved. A desire to show others the goodness of God in their lives, to point out how merciful he's been to them. Let us run our race with patience. Let us lay aside those things that are hindering us. Let us lay aside that sin and focus on Christ, that we might walk with him and be in time with him, where he wants us to be, when he wants us to be there. Let us have the mind of Christ and be focused on him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word, for your word. Help us, Lord, to have a focus, Lord, on Christ. Have a focus on Christ that will help us, Lord, to continue to wear your armor, Lord, to go forth, Lord, in readiness, Lord, to preach your gospel. Lord, help us to be focused on Christ, Lord, that we might be able to bring others to Christ. Lord, help us not to have any worldly focus, to have any hindrance, Lord, in our life, any weights that are hindering our race. Lord, let us lay them aside for your glory and the furtherance of your kingdom. Lord, we just thank you and praise you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.